everybody. You're listening to WHRW Binghamton, and I do just want to say a couple of tiny things before we get started on Tractor Fiction this week. First of all, I want to let you know that this program may contain language or material that may be considered offensive. The views expressed are those of the engineer and his guests and may not be represent the views of the management or of other WHRW station members. Therefore, we advise you to carefully consider whether you or your children should listen. Can you tell everybody a public service announcement for me? Just an important public service announcement.
Smoking is bad. Yes, I know how to speak.
It is. It can cause cancer, I believe.
Yes, it can. And it also can cause emphysema. And yes, I'm looking at you. Yes, you.
All right. So, this episode of Tractor Fiction is called The Contract.
It was the middle of the night, and John Freeman, a farming man, was sleeping so soundly he didn't notice the roaring rumble coming from the outdoors. His crippled son hobbled into the room with a lantern, waking him.
Father, father, what's that noise?
Faith and Megora, that sounds like hell.
John threw open the windows, revealing the truth.
It is hell.
Oh, blast it. My crops are gone. I've been crushed.
The next morning, John and his gimpy son looked over the damage done.
Oh, everything's gone, lard. We're ruined.
What are we going to do?
Oh, maybe if we can borrow from the bank. Oh, don't you know, we're in deep trouble, me boy.
That afternoon, John went to the bank to request a loan.
More money? You already have a loan that you can't pay back. Is it my fault that I ruined your crop? The bank will own your farm in just a few days. You're out of luck, John Freeman. Next week I want you and that crippled boy of ours off our property. Understand?
Oh, faith and begor and the Irish Isle. If I ever get the chance, old banker man, I'll fix you for this. I hate the grand ye walk on Elmy Brugs.
So what most people do, but I don't get paid for being loved. So take your worthless hide out of here and don't come back.
Back at the farm, Freeman is seething while a stranger passes by.
Oh, vomitous son of the pursed in Welsh shall sell me soul if I can keep at this farm.
That's music to my ears, John Freeman.
Aye?
Fox is my name, B. Fox. Allow me to shake hands with a wealthy man.
Oh, faith and begorra, ye must be crazy. I'm as poor as a church mouse or an Englishman.
I'm not crazy, Mr. Freeman. You don't know it, but you're sitting on a fortune. Let me explain. I brought a map showing where treasure is buried on your property. If you sign this contract, we can split it half and half.
Oh, I'd be for that.
There's just one little hitch. It's really unimportant, but after you die, I get your soul.
Me soul? Ha ha ha, big joke, like a pint of Guinness in the cold. Okay, you get me soul, devil. Where do I sign?
No, Mr. Freeman, you sign this contract with your blood.
He is crazy.
John pricks his finger on a finger pricker. And uses it to put an X on the paper.
Very nicely done, sir. Now, the treasure should be 15 paces west of this old tree stump.
They walk the distance, and Fox looks on while Freeman digs for the treasure.
How are we doing, partner?
I believe I hit something. Oh, me gosh, this there, it's an old metal box. Doesn't look like cereal, but let me just get this open. Wahoo! We're rich! Look at all these lucky charms.
Yes, indeed. Now, don't you have a promise to keep?
What promise?
You promised to fix bugs.
No!
I've got a plan.
Soon, Freeman stands out on Main Street outside of the bank, bulging bags full of treasure slung over each shoulder. A crowd gathers around, and soon the bank manager comes to see what the commotion is.
What's all this then?
I do say that I'd like to put all this stuff in your bank, but I can't.
Good heavens, why not?
Because Mr. Boggs, your Welshman, there told me never to come back in here again.
Boggs, did you say that to Mr. Freeman?
I'm sorry the actor playing Boggs has been sacked. For the remainder of this tract, I will be playing Boggs. Well, yes, sir.
You are the weakest link. Get out.
But, sir, where will I go? What can I do? I'm too old.
I'm too old. That's your problem. Problem, Boggs. You should have used Irish Spring.
There's nothing like revenge.
2 weeks later, John Freeman visits his cousin, Bob Good, and tells him about his good luck.
John, you said you signed a contract in blood, and this guy gets your soul?
Yes!
You fool! Do you have any idea what you've done? First of all, that's a terrible accent. Second of all, I don't care how much money you've got. I'd never be so stupid. Your soul is priceless. You know I've always been a God-fearing man, John. I believe in the Ten Commandments. I do as much good as possible, and I avoid all forms of evil. And what does the B stand for in B Fox, anyway?
No, Faith and Begora, and the Emerald Isle stands for B Sir Bob.
Okay. Really need to stop that accent. You quivering nitwit! Beelzebub is the name of Satan, Lord of Flies, and Deception and such. Freeman, you'll never get out of that contract. You're doomed to hell. That's doomed to hell.
10 years later, John Freeman's farmhouse has been converted into a huge mansion with every luxury he could want.
Shamrock shakes for all!
He, however, is ill and bedridden while a doctor attends to him.
I'm sorry, John, but you have about 4 weeks to live.
God, Doctor, this time goes so fast. Now I'm doomed to hell to listen to Riverdance me whole eternity. Lord, what have I done? I've been a fool.
What have you done?
I signed a contract with the devil. He gets me soul.
It doesn't work that way, John. The devil is a created being with limited power, but Jesus Christ is God Almighty with unlimited power. Jesus loves you. That's why he came to earth to die on the cross to wash away your sins with his precious blood. Christ wants to set you free by coming into your heart. If you let him in, then that power is yours. The Bible says, greater is he, Christ, that is in you than he, Satan, that is in the world.
So there is a way out without making potato salad.
Absolutely. John, turn away from your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart. He will save you from hell and take you to heaven.
Oh, then I will. I will, Lord. Take me by the hand.
1 week later, John Freeman gathers up his weak carcass and hobbles over to his cousin Bob Good's house.
John, what are you doing? And what's this carcass doing here?
I have some wonderful news to share with you.
You look awful.
But listen to potatoes.
An hour later...
Look, just stop preaching to me, John. I don't need it. You sound like a fanatic with that ridiculous accent. God will weigh my good deeds against my bad and will welcome me into heaven. I don't need what you've got. I'll make it my way.
Not so long after John passes on, and at his funeral...
John is now safe in the arms of Jesus.
Baloney. He's in hell. He couldn't get out of that contract.
When the funeral ended, a gentle rain began falling as Bob got in his carriage for the ride home. Soon the rain rose to an angry storm.
I'm so angry!
It's really starting to rain. Giddy up! Yeah! Look at that lightning!
And with a mighty crash, the lightning struck a tree on the roadside, splintering off a huge branch, which fell atop the carriage and smushed the life out of good old Bobby Good. Before he could say gyroscopes, he found himself in hell.
This is insane. Why am I here? This is not Disneyland. Who are you?
B Fox is the name. This will be your new home. Forever!
Who all is in this place?
Well, except for the little children and that other group. I've got everybody. The rich and poor, the atheists and the religious, the filthy. And lots of good living people like yourself. Isn't that a surprise?
Wow, yeah. Sheesh. Wait. So, my cousin must have come through here a few hours ago, right? John Freeman, kind of tall guy, funny accent?
Wrong! John is in heaven. He slipped out of my hands, but it was close.
But the contract. I didn't have a contract with you. You can't get my soul.
You fool! I don't need a contract. I've got everybody anyway. Except those who accepted Christ as their savior.
Oh, poop.
And that's the end of the contract, as they call it in the contractual business. All right, and now onto the debate, the debatatory debate that we always debate at Tractor Fiction. We have, of course, as always, two debaters. Just they're different debaters this time than they were last time. Of course, different people entirely, as always. Debater number one is now coming out of the debatatorium. All right, debater number one, what's your name, sir?
Hello, I'm Mr. Fat.
Mr. Fat, nice to meet you. It's good to have you here. Who's debater number two? Debater number two, yes, what's your name?
I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz!
Oh, the Wizard of Oz. So we got Mr. Fat and the Wizard of Oz. Alright, let's get right to it, and we'll see who is for this tract and who's against it. Oh, it turns out, surprise of surprise, the Wizard of Oz says that this tract is true.
The great and powerful Wizard of Oz says this tract is true.
Both the great Oz and the powerful Oz and the Wizard of Oz all say
all three.
All say that it's true, while Mr. Fat says malarkey. Mr. Fat, tell us why this is malarkey.
Well, I'll tell you why it's on malarkey. See, I sold my soul for 300 pounds of chicken. And what did the devil do? He gave me ham. I can't eat ham. It's too salty.
So, okay, so you're saying that your basis is that this is...
It's a lie.
It's a lie.
The devil doesn't give what he wants to give.
He doesn't give what he wants to give?
That's right. He doesn't give what I ask for. I ask for chicken and give me ham.
So, but here's the question. Do you feel that because you made that contract, you're automatically damned to hell? And there's nothing you can do about it?
No, I can get out of it.
How?
Same way I get out of paying for meals.
What's that?
I eat the damn place up.
You eat the place up?
Indeed, I eat them out of house and restaurants.
So you're going to eat hell?
Indeed, I'll eat all the brimstone I want to eat.
All right, Mr. Fat, all right.
Yeah.
Mr. Oz.
Somebody get me a bucket. I'm going to throw up.
Mr. Oz.
The great and powerful Wizard of Oz is a little weirded out. He needs a minute.
All right.
Whoa. Okay. The great and powerful Wizard of Oz is totally willing to accept this tract at face value. Clearly this fat person man is incapable of conquering the devil.
It's because I've got diabetes.
Oh, please. You could not... You probably couldn't even stand up, could you? Seriously. Stand up right now.
I need a stool.
There you go.
Something with wheels.
Okay, you're not going to conquer the adversary, the Morning Star, the one who got thrown out of heaven because he almost overthrew the supreme being when you can't stand up.
I washed myself with a rag on a stick.
I'm impressed.
So you're talking about Mr. Fox. Mr. Fox from the tract is going
to defeat
him.
Somebody called me to dinner?
Mr. Beelzebub Fox.
Oh, Fox. I thought you said fat.
Yeah. He's pretty badass. Only the great and powerful Oz could possibly defeat him.
Wait.
Maybe also God.
So you're saying that you could get out of the contract then, Oz?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
I could eat you.
If you could stand up.
With challenge.
All right, we do have an expert here. We do have an expert here who wants to put in their 2 cents.
Yeah, hi. My name's like Stacy, and I'm actually kind of fat, and I actually kind of have diabetes. And I think that this is a really, really heinous reflection of our society that we make fun of people because they're fat and have diabetes.
Are you bulimic? I was. And then I decided not to throw up. I decided to keep it all in. Then I made a deal with the devil for 300 pounds of chicken.
Okay, sir, just back away. You smell horrible.
How could he possibly back away when he can't stand?
Actually,
roll him down,
Mr. Fat. Mr. Fat.
The great Oz has spoken.
Mr. Fat, I think your microphone might be off. Can you check there?
Somebody fix one, but there we go.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so I have a question for... actually, I believe this kind of is relevant. We actually brought one of the characters in from the tract to speak about God, but since he is a doctor, he might want to say something about Mr. Fat and what he should do with his life. I don't know. I mean, doctor?
Seek help. You need a lot of help.
I'll tell you what, doctor. I'll go on Maury Povich or some other show, and people will get sympathy for me because I weigh so much and I don't have a life. And then people will send me money and Richard Simmons will come over.
Look.
Where's my cake?
Oh, excuse me. I've got something to say on this issue.
Oh, who we got here? Yes?
I'm Star Jones and I am a lawyer.
Oh, sorry.
And legally speaking, Mr. John was in breach of his contract with Mr. Fox.
And yet, for some reason, he didn't lose the money. He didn't lose the money afterwards. Why is that?
I am a lawyer. I went to law school.
Oh, you did? Oh.
End of story.
Because he was dead, and because he accepted Jesus.
Star, you're pretty hefty, too. I can put you on my program and get you 200 more pounds of happiness.
Look, I don't recommend anybody else taking this diet. It's really annoying have to grease the doors. And we did already for Mr. Fat, but...
But it's so good and tasty.
Don't eat the doors! Oh! Ah.
Well, now I can get through again, too.
All right.
I don't understand how he's still alive.
Seriously, yeah.
Well, maybe you should try talking to the devil.
Wait, is that a seam I see? I don't think he's really that fat. I think there's somebody hiding inside of
it. Wait a minute. Is that a fat suit?
I think that's just a fat suit.
Sorry. Oh. I just wanted attention. All my life, I felt like nobody appreciated me. I tried being gay and going to a gay club. Nobody liked me. I tried being a female. I tried being a lawyer and a doctor. I even tried being a civil service worker.
I am a lawyer.
Is your name really Fat?
Yes.
Well, that's a coincidence.
No one likes a skinny man whose name is Fat.
Wow.
I've tried everything.
No one accepts me.
Speaking of the sympathy vote, let's find out. Let's see if the sympathy vote gave him the debate. Let's find out. Oh, sorry. Turns out the judge of fate who flipped the coin didn't like you and thought you were rude to lie. Oz, barring any secrets that you might share about who you really are.
Ha! Huh, the great and powerful Oz has no secrets.
Then you win. Congratulations. This track is...
How about what's behind this?
If you're going to lose the show, you should never pay attention to the guy behind the fat suit. Where the hell?
All right. I don't know what's going on.
Excuse me, Mr. Oz. If you have no secrets, who are you?
I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz. Check your ears.
What's your middle name?
Apparently...
Powerful.
And powerful.
Yeah.
And powerful? Okay. Is that hyphenated or...
No, you fool. There's a space.
Was your father's name And Powerful? Is that why?
No.
Oh.
It was my mother's maiden name.
Oh. Ms. Ann
Powerful. Sweet, what's your credit card number? Then I can do fraud.
All right.
The Great and Powerful Oz needs no credit card.
So congratulations, Mr. Oz.
Yes, thank you.
It's good to have honest people on the show once in a while.
Of course.
So I'm glad that you're here.
Yes.
Thanks.